Okay. We discussed? Yes. Sunday. This Sunday, no. I'm leaving Sunday at 6 in the morning. Davening the Sikkim, leaving 6 in the morning. We're on already. Okay, good. Excellent. We discussed last time the coming of Hillel. In other words, why Hillel was so... why he came at the right time. He said that he came in the time of Herod, and Herod was going around pillaging and destroying and any vestiges of Yiddishkeit. Came along Hillel, and Hillel came from Babylonia. Well, if he came from Babylonia, it was like a new face, not just a new face, he had nothing to do with the Chashmonaim, with the old guard. Shammai, all the old Talmidei Chachamim, they were around when Herod grew up, and they convicted him in the Sanhedrin. Hillel was like a new face. So therefore, when Hillel came up and anybody realized that he was not just Sir Shmaev Avtalion, but he was head and shoulders above anybody else, he was already a gadol in Babel, in Babylonia, so right away, minuhu nasi aleim, they realized that he should be the nasi, and because he was a nasi, in other words, he became a nasi and he was accepted by the general population, and Herod did not feel threatened by him. And since Herod did not feel threatened by him, she was able to bring out all the terror, which really started Hillel and Shammai, by the way, were the last of the Zugos, but they're really also the first of the Tanoim. The word Tana is from the word Shana, to learn, because it was a tremendous flourishing of terror and terror about that. Doesn't mean, and we're going to soon see, people, secular historians say, that is the birth of Terah Shabbat Peh. Clearly not. We're going to see from all the various Gemaras that we have, that all the machlokes between Hillel and Shammai and Beis Hillel and Shammai is on small, tiny, minor details of a Dirabbanon. In other words, everything else we already know and clear, that is all question of one small minor detail. We're going to prove that. But that's why there was a tremendous resurgence of Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah in general in the time of Hillel. Now, something else, just to see what, when Hillel gives various statements in Avos, right? When Hillel gives various statements in Avos, so it's very reflective of his time. Number one on the sheet, the Mishnah Avos says, Afu ro, talking about Hillel, Afu ro gulgoylus achas, he saw a skull that was floating on the water. Amalah, that's a statement from Hillel, the Mishnah Avos. Hillel once saw a skull floating on the water. Amalah, so he told him, Al da'ateft atfuch, that because you drowned others, you got drowned. V'soif mitayfayich yutufun. And those that drowned you, their end will be that they too will be drowned. So, Hillel sees a skull. If we know that Hillel lived in the time of Herod, and murder was almost commonplace, of course he saw skulls floating on the water. It fits right in with the time. In other words, that's what he observed, that's what he saw, because that's the time period that he lived in. Another statement that he says, "Hu ayayme," he would say, "Negat shma avat shme," that if your name becomes out there, becomes famous, avat shme, forget it, they're going to get you. In other words, if you start getting, you start getting prominence and people hear about you, then avat shmei, very quickly the authorities will get you. And that's again very, very indicative of the time of Herod. Herod was very, very extremely paranoid. Anybody that he felt was a threat somewhat, anybody that was talking against him, avat shmei, was immediately dismissed and immediately taken care of. And again we see that Hillel, obviously in the time of Herod, that's where he came in. Now, it's another thing which we see again to show, to put Hillel in that time period. Goymel nefesh ish chesed. Hillel said that I have to do chesed with my nefesh as well, with my soul. So then Hillel zokin shem shoy shenitam etamidov. When Hillel would say goodbye after a shir, would say goodbye to his students. Hayemahalach v'hoylech imam. He would walk with them. Amalei etamidov, Rabbi, leichnat hoylech. Rabbi, where are you going? Amalei, he told him, last night's mitzvah. I'm going to do a mitzvah. Amalei, v'chimah mitzvah do? What mitzvah are you going to perform? I'm taking care of my body. I'm taking care of, I'm washing myself. That's a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah. Of course. Hey, of course. Mami, koinin shamalachim. All types of statues of kings. Right? The Romans have all types of statues. and they placed him in the theaters and in the circuses, and Mishum Razman Aleim, whoever's in charge, who Morkon v'Shoitvon, that he washes them, he cleans them, v'Loyoy Delashum is Galim Galim Malchus. In other words, and that's an important position, and that's just a liking of a human being, a bust. Anish Nevresi B'Tzalim V'Dmus. So I am much more than that. I am, you know, B'Tzalim Elokim, of course. So we see again, not only Hillel looks at the time period that he's living in, but we said last time, Hillel grew up as a very poor person. He was a Yichus. He was from David HaMelech. But he grew up as a very poor person. So he was able to relate to the very much so to the common person. So even to his Talmidim, what's going on? Somebody walk in? So we see the touch he has with the common people, with the hoi polloi. In other words, I'm going to take a bath. Why? He saw what was going on. He said, look, the goyim have all the statues and all the things. We're no different than them. So he was able to relate to them, to the talmidim, or to the regular people, on their level, and bring out divrei elokim chayim. Again, something which is unique about Hillel. Okay, so that's basically, we said last time, we discussed it at length, that Hillel was able to relate to all types of people. He was able to relate to the common man. Now, if you want to see number 3b and something else also as well, put in that later on. But I think it belongs over here. Ma'aseh Hillel Zaken Hillel, the old one, the elder, Shaya Oimed Al Pischo Shel Yerushalayim. He would stand by the gate of Yerushalayim, Uvnei Adam Yotzim Lepalom, and he'd see the regular people go to work every day, the day laborers. Amalem. So you would strike up a conversation with them. This is the Gol Hadar, the Nasi, right? What I'm trying to show is that Hillel wasn't some Nasi, you know, in his palatial home and things like that. He was a Nasi in Klal Yisrael. He was the first of the Nasiim, really, right? They always had Zugos, but the first of Malchus, just about. It was him and his children, his grandchildren, throughout, were the leaders of Klal Yisrael. But he goes out every day to the marketplace, and he sees regular people, and he tells them, "Bekam atem oisim ayayim." How much money are you planning to make today? I make a buck, I make 2 bucks. Amalem, he says, and when you make the money, what are you going to do with the coins? What do you mean? We need bread to live. So why invest the money into food? You can invest in the Torah and you get this world, you get next world. And Hillel would not just, you know, have his Talmidim in his Beis Hillel and his Beis Medrash, but he would go out to the masses. He would go out and he'd recarve them and he'd speak to them on their level, and that is why he was so popular. In other words, Hillel wasn't just the Nasi, the Gadol Ador, the one who had all his Talmidim and he's the greatest, head and shoulders above everybody else. At the same time, he was able to relate to the regular people and he was able to reach out to regular people and be recarved to regular people and speak to them on their level. And everybody felt beloved, everybody felt close together with Hillel. I mean, you have number 4 in the sheet. Maybe it's worthwhile to go through it. Because, you know, the Gemara says it in a different light. The Gemara says, Atan Rabbanon, number 4, Lo'ilam yeh Adam anveson kehillel, val yeh kapim keshamay. We'll discuss Hillel and Shammai, it's a separate thing. But that's the first part. The Gemara says, always be anveson, humble like Hillel, and don't be tough like Shammai. We're going to see what that means, what it means Shammai was tough. He wasn't really tough. But what do you mean, always be Anveson, be humble like Hillel. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The Gemara says a story. Ma'aseh b'shnei Adam, the story is a famous story. Story about two people. Shehim hu zeh zeh. They had a wager one with the other. Amru, they said, kol mi sheyelech v'yaktit es Hillel, yito abam me'ezut. Whoever is going to go and get Hillel angry is going to win the bet. 400 bucks that I can get Hillel angry. So Amru echad mehem. So one guy said, ani yakten, that's a good bet. I'm all in. Deal me in. I'm going to go and get him angry. So, that day was a Friday afternoon. And Hillel was shampooing his head. He was taking a bath for Shabbos. So this person stood at the entrance of Hillel's house. And he said, Mikan Hillel. Mikan Hillel. Who is Hillel around there? Who is Hillel around there? This after the Kosas. Hillel goes out and greets him. Comes out towards him. Amalai tells him, Bini, my son. Remember, Hillel at that time must have been 90 years old, right? Remember, Hillel started at 80 years old. He came up to Eretz Yisrael. She was a Nasi at the age of 80. So it's probably 10 years into his reign. 15 years. He was a young man, let's say he was 90 years old. So Amalei, so he tells him, Bini, my son, Ma'atam Vakesh, what do you want? Amalei, Sheli Yesh Litshal, I have a question to ask him. Amalei, Shal Bini Shal. Go ahead, my son, ask a question. So the question he asks him is, Mipnei Ma'roshen Shal Bavloin Sigal Galot. Why the Babylonians, why they have egg-shaped, you know, triangular-shaped heads? Why are their heads shaped in such a funny way? Amalei, he tells him, Bini, Sheila G'dayla Shalto. That's a good question. Because they don't have midwives, good midwives. So when they take them out the wrong way, and that's why the heads get bent out of shape. He waited another hour. And he said again, Mikan Hillel, who is Hillel around there? The Satav Yasa de Kosai comes out towards him again. What do you ask? I have a question to ask. Why are the Talmudian women, their eyes, why the Trutois, I guess, why they pointy or why they what slanted, why they slanted eyes? Amalai, he told them, Bini Sheilek Del Shalt, that's a good question. Because they live in the windswept, the sand-swept dunes. So there's always sand coming in eyes, always, you know, it's squinting their eyes, so that's why they're like that. Halach v'imtin shu'achas, he waited another hour. Chazram, he said, mikan hilal, and Satras, again, he comes towards him. B'ni, matam, what are you asking? Amalei, Sheli, Yesh, I have a big question. Amalei, Shal, B'ni, Shal, b'ni, ma'ad, lehem, shal, afrikim, v'chavos. Why the African people, why they have these large feet, you know, wide feet, flat-footed people. Amalei, B'ni, she'elag del shalta, b'ni, shedorim, v'bitzemayim, because they live between the water, what's that, the water, you know, between things of water, so they always have to keep the feet, they have to balance himself very well on the feet, not to fall in the water, and that's why they have such large feet. Amalei, he told him, 4a, She'elis habli yesh li lishol. I have many questions to ask. Ani shemetichos. I'm afraid, you know, I have many, many things are bothering me. But I'm afraid you're going to get angry if I ask you. The Satav Yasa Lefanav, he sat in front of him, and he said, Kol she'elis shesh chalishol, sh'al. Whatever questions you have to ask, my son, ask. Amalei, atu hilo shekarin os chanis chanas yisrael. Are you the Hillel that they call the Nas in Yisrael? Amalei, hein, that's me. Amalei, imatahu, if you're the one, lo yibu kamayis l'Yisrael. I don't wish many of them should be like you. In other words, you shouldn't stick around too much longer. Lo yibu kamayis l'Yisrael. Men, they should not be like you. Amalei, he told him, B'ni, my son. Again, look, every time he insults him, he still calls him, B'ni, my son. What did I do to you? Amalei told him, Ibnei shavarit al yotcha ba me'azuz. Because I lost the best 400 Jews because of you. That's why I don't like that. Amalei, he told him, Havizoy b'ruchacha, be careful. Kedayu hilo shetal al yod ha-mezuz, ha-mezuz, nehilo la-yakbe. It's worthwhile to lose 400 Jews and so that I should not get angry. Hilo should not get angry. In other words, it's worthwhile to lose 400 Jews, I guess, and not to see me angry. That's a lesson you learn, and that we see from Hilo was easygoing. So think about what to say from Hilo over here. He was humble. He was very, you know, a lot of humility, and the people was easygoing, and etc., etc. What I pull out of this Gemara, that he was so accessible. Everybody felt they can relate to him. Some Meshuggah over the street just goes over to him and tells him, no, hello, you know, start talking to him like a regular person. What does that show to you? To me, it shows, forget about Hillel's humility, but his accessibility. People felt comfortable. People felt, he's one of ours. That's a tremendous, tremendous miler that Hillel, the gadol that he was, everybody felt a shaychus to him. Because everybody felt a shaychus to him. Everybody felt a connection to him. We understand the Gemara says before. He was able to meet people, and that's how he was mekarif people. Tachas kanfei shemayim. That's why he was able to mekarif so many people. Why? The key to kiruv is that a person feels he's not being talked down to. He feels the person's equal to him. He feels the person means his best. That's what Hillel exemplifies. And in a way, maybe that's what the Gemara means. It's al tiyeh kavdin kashamay. Not to say kavdin, shamay was a kavdin. They all say it doesn't mean shamay was a kavdin. We'll prove it later on. Shamos also, he says, having mekava kol adam the same part of Yafois and accept everybody with a graceful countenance. We'll soon see a Gemara about a Talmud of Shammai. Shammai is Talmud, right? Who was also, on the contrary, very easygoing. Of course, Shammai wasn't. They say either means compared to Hillel, he was like that, or because Shammai felt when it was the next Gemara, then when it comes to Kavod HaTorah, then it has to be you have to carry a certain way. And Hillel was the exact opposite. Whatever pshat is in Shammai. But Hillel, well, the Shammai wasn't in a bad sense, but Hillel was extreme to the sense that it was like a whole thing. There was a whole machlekes between Hillel and Shammai. What type of students do we allow into our academy? So Shammai says, oh, only students that are serious and are strong and well. Hillel said, everybody. Everybody's welcome. And the Gemara says that he would take people who were nobodies and amaratzim and simple folk, and they became tzaddikim v'yirei. He was the one of the first mekarev, first cure person. That's Hillel. And we see that. And the Gemara almost makes a note of the fact that Hillel was so successful because anvesom kehillel. He was so accessible. He was so easygoing. And that's why he had such a tremendous effect. That's why he was such a resurgence in learning Torah, because of Hillel, his sheer personality that shone through, and he was able to affect so many people. Yes, Rafi. We're going to get to that. What it means, Mako, means Machmer, and yeah, we're going to get to that. But no, that, when Igmar says, Anvison Kehillel, what does it mean that? Personality. That's what I'm showing, that it was it's shown through his personality. Yes. Flock towards him.
Exactly.
We're gonna see.
Shammai is more exclusive. Now, here's what I can. Shammai only wanted the best of the best, the wealthiest, the smartest. He wanted the top five.
Right.
Hillel,
City College.
City College, public. 40,000-50,000 students. The bigger, the better.
So we'll see where. Now the Gemara says that Shammai students are very sharp, extremely sharp, and everything. But in halacha, there's a concept as achrei rabim lahatas, right? We follow majority, and we'll soon see. Fascinating. That people don't realize. People think that it was Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. They were at war with each other. It wasn't all like that. We're going to first see the relationship Shammai and Hillel, and then we'll see the concept of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. How it all fits together, and what the machlek is, the concept of the machlek is, and where that comes from. But first I want to focus on the sheer personality of Hillel. And of course, there's a famous Gemara, right? We have to do that as well, I mean, might as well, but about this non-Jew who came in front of Shammai, and he tells me, teach me the entire Torah on one foot, right? First the guy comes and he says, teach me the Torah, only teach me one of the, how many Torahs do you have? So he said, we got two. Torah Shebuchzav and Torah Shebuchzav. She says, teach me only Torah Shebuchzav. So Shammai says, sorry, can't teach Torah Shebuchzav, get out of here, you're making a joke out of the whole thing. No such thing. He comes to Hillel, and Hillel says, he was Megayim. So the first day he tells him, Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet, and the next day he turns it around. He tells him, Shin, Tov, Shin, Reish, and Kuf. She said, why are you turning it around? He said, are you relying on me? I'm telling you. First learn like this, then learn like this. And slowly he got him into it, and then he got him to teach him Torah Shebuchzav and Torah Shebuchzav. And then the other person tells him, teach me the whole Torah on one leg. And then that was worthwhile to see. Number C. 4C. She says, Shuv Maisa Benochi Echot Shabbalif De Shammai. Another guy came in front of Shammai. Amalai tells him, Gairena Nashat Lamneni Kol Ter Kula, Shani Oymed Al Engel Achas. Teach me the entire Torah while I'm standing one foot. Dachva Bahamas Abinyan, and he pushed him out. Well, if Nehillel, he came in front of Hillel, Gairim, he was Gairim. Amalais, he told him, do the whole Torah in one foot. Da aloch sani lechavach leitavit. What you don't want for yourself, the golden rule. Zuhi kol ha-Torah kula, that's the entire Torah. V'idach pushu zil gemar. That is, the rest is mefarish, trying to understand it, and then go learn. But that's the golden rule in Torah. It was such a, it was such a huge statement. What you don't want, don't do unto others, what you don't want to yourself. That all the subsequent sects in Judaism, not in Judaism, sects in the world, right? Christianity and Essenes and Nazarenes and Yashkin, all these, they grabbed on to this golden rule of Hillel. The first one to say it was Hillel, right? Hillel was before Yashka, Hillel was before the Nazarenes, before the Essenes, all those. They all grabbed on to Hillel's golden rule. Because Hillel, it wasn't just a rule that he said, but he lived by it. So therefore it made such an impression, it was such a force in the time that he lived, that Hillel lived, that it wasn't just a statement that he said. But that is what Hillel encompassed. And everybody knew that was his leadership, was evident with the way he conducted himself, and therefore that became the golden rule for that whole time period, for the next 100 or 200 years, so much so that all the other religions adapted from it. Okay, So that's basically about Hillel. So on the one hand, we said Hillel was this great scholar and he was head and shoulders of everybody else. On the other hand, he was able to relate to the common person, was able to relate to everybody. Remember, he came from very, very poor beginnings. He was extremely poor, right? Remember we said that he didn't have any money, he went to the top of the roof. So he was very, very poor. He was able to relate to the common person. He was open, accessible to everybody, and that was the godless of Hillel. He was able to be Makarv Lavim Shemashamayim. Now, what is this relationship, Hillel and Shammai? Who is Hillel, who is Shammai? Remember, Shammai was there before Hillel. Shammai was in the Sanhedrin already before Hillel even came up, right? He was younger than Hillel, right? He was younger than Hillel, but he was already in the Sanhedrin in the time of Herod, when Herod was a young man. Now, before Hillel came up, so the heads of the Sanhedrin were Shammai and it wasn't Shammai. Shammai was a great, was a scholar in the Sanhedrin, but he wasn't the head. When Hillel came up at first, so they made Hillel the Nasi, they needed somebody to be an Av Beis Din together with Hillel. So they didn't choose Shammai, they chose Menachem. Now who was Menachem? Menachem was somebody who was very close to Herod, to the ruling government. So they figured, I know if Herod pushed it, or maybe even a Chachamim figure, you know, if we little keep the emphasis off Hillel, we'll put this Hillel strong enough person that he can sit together with Menachem, it's not so bad, and he's with the government, they'll leave the Sanhedrin alone. So when Gemara says Yerushalmi, or, you know, there was this one machlekes that was going out throughout the generations, whether you do smicha on yontif, whether you push down, the owner pushes down the hands on the animal on yontif. So the machlekes all the way through after Antignus Yisoychai, from the time of Yosef ben Yezer. So the Gemara goes on and says that Hillel Menachem Lenechleku, Yosef Menachem Nichnas Shammai. In other words, Menachem left and Shammai got in. What happened when Menachem left? So even though Menachem was an Avbez together with Hillel, but in the end his true color showed, and he went for a government post. He left the Avbezdin, and he went for a government post. Not only that, but he went with a whole bunch of people together with him. Look what it says. Yerushalmi says, Hillel and Menachem lo nechleku. There was no machlokes between Hillel and Menachem. Obviously Menachem, I guess, wasn't the Sanhedrin, but he wasn't on the caliber to argue with Hillel. Yotze Menachem v'nichnas Shammai. Menachem left, and Shammai took the place of Menachem, and he became together with Hillel. Le'echon Yotze, where did he go? Yesh Oymrim, Mimida Lamida Yotze. Yesh Oymrim, Keneged Panav Yotze. In other words, he went out against his face. In other words, he went out to the other side. Hu Shmoinim Zuk Shel Tamidei Chachamim, him and 80 scholars, Melubashin Tilkei Zahav, and they were dressed in the royal clothes. In other words, they threw off the garbs of the Sanhedrin and Tamidei Chachamim, and they put on Tilkei Zahav. Sheishchiru Pneihem Kezulei Gedera, and they blackened their faces like the inside of a pot. Sh'amu Lehen, and they went around saying, Kisvu Al Keren Ashar, She'en Lechem Chelek Belekei Yisrael. In other words, they became part of Herod's ruling class. This was Menachem and his entourage and his people. And he left the Sanhedrin, right? He left the Sanhedrin, and who took his place? Shammai took his place. Why would I want to say this? I forgot why I want to say it. Remember, but okay. Anyway, that's how Menachem left and Shammai goes in. So now we have Shammai and Hillel. Now remember, Shammai. What's this concept of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? This whole concept, where does it come from? Now, if you think about it, who do we pasken like every time? Beis Hillel, right? Who is the majority? Beis Hillel, right? Who is the one? Who is the Nasi? Hillel, correct? Who is the grandson of Hillel who wrote the Mishnayos? Rabbi Yehuda, who is also a grandson, a great descendant of Hillel. So why in every Mishnayos do we have Beis Shammai Oymrim, Beis Hillel Oymrim? To first be Beis Hillel Oymrim, and then Beis Shammai Oymrim. Who is majority? Who is more important? Who is halacha like? And who is his grandfather? Why is Beis Shammai always before Beis Hillel? What's the reason? You passing like Beis Hillel? Everything is Hillel. Okay, but why does he quote Shammai first? That's by the way, that's a good shot. But I'll tell you, historically speaking, because you have to understand, until Hillel came onto the scene, Shammai was the leading Rosh Hashiva. He had his leading academy. he had his Beit Shammai. What's Beit Shammai? The house, the Beit Medrash of Shammai. So he had all the students. He was the Rosh Hashiva. He was the greatest Talmud Chacham, probably, right? He wasn't a Nasi in that time. Comes along Hillel, and they made Hillel Nasi. Now, up until this point, whenever you had two people, they always served together in the same Beit Medrash. Shmaya and Naphtalion were teaching together. Remember the story when Hillel comes on top of the roof and Shmaya turns to Naphtalion and says, hey, who's that person? That means they were teaching together in the same Beit Medrash. There was a central yeshiva, central Beit Medrash, Shmaya and Naphtalion, and everybody came to learn. Hillel, probably because of the time period that he was in, and because of Herod, they figured, if Hillel is going to come and join and make this one big, huge Beit Medrash, then Herod will never let them. He killed all the Sanhedrin in the beginning of his reign. He's not going to let Hillel come and make this huge new, you know, resurgence of terror. Let's have a better idea. Let's have, Beit Shammai is the old Beit Medrash. Let's have a new Beit Medrash. Hillel will come and make his Beit Medrash. And like this, he'll have Hillel's Beit Medrash. He'll divert some of the attention, right? Herod will see, oh, the two. Okay, it's not, you know, it's not only one person. This, in other words, he feels if you divide it, then in his eyes, you divide it. It doesn't, it's not such a, like Hillel says, Negichmei, Avachmei. If you make yourself too prominent, then you're going to get lost. So let's keep a low profile. You have your Beit Medrash, I have my Beit Medrash, you're going to Barpah, you have 10 little steeples, so it means nothing. You have one big Baba Vish steeple, one big Baba Vish shul, it's a huge thing. So therefore, the concept of the theory goes, the reason why Beit Shammai is always mentioned first, because Beit Shammai was the original Beit Medrash. Comes from Beit Hillel, and Hillel comes and he opens his Beit Medrash, and he has his Talmidim. Now, all of the Talmidim of Klal Yisrael, all the Talmidei Chachamim, everybody learned, either learned on the Shammai, or they learned on the Hillel. That's Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, not two distinct forms of halacha, or two distinct forms, it was just two yeshivas. Just like you have Yeshiva A and Yeshiva B, she had Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. The Yeshiva of Shammai and the Yeshiva of Hillel. The reason why Shammai is always mentioned first, because that was the earlier Yeshiva, was the older Yeshiva, and then comes Beit Hillel. But really, all it was were two Yeshivas in the land of Israel. There is no later on. Right. Meaning what? Yeah, but no. So that's what I'm saying. No. So I don't know how much they learned. In other words, by the way, the attic is afterwards. It's in the time of Yavne when they counted. But by the way, at that point there was no more Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel was only in the time of Shammai and Hillel. After we established the Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is not more than Shammai's yeshiva and Hillel's yeshiva. Once Hillel and Shammai pass on, there is no more Shammai's yeshiva and Hillel's yeshiva. It's one big yeshiva. That we don't find anywhere that who took over Shammai's yeshiva. We don't, because there was no such thing as Shammai's yeshiva. There wasn't another yeshiva. No, there wasn't. There wasn't. They were all the same Talmidei Chachamim. He learned by him. He learned by him. After Shammai went, they all went back together. And it was after Herod's time. Hillel was there for 40 years. After Herod's time, after Hillel died and Shammai died, they all went together. Maybe different bottom midrashes, but it wasn't two schools. It wasn't two thoughts. It wasn't two schools. The whole machlokes that we have between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel was because of this resurgence of terror which took place in the time of Hillel. So then, there was a machlokes. In this yeshiva, they learned like this. In this yeshiva, they learned like that. Oh, how are we going to resolve it? All right, it was a machlokes. After they died, they came together, or even at that time, and many of the machlokes were already resolved at that time. Even at that time, they knew already, oh, you know, we hold like that, but they don't, you know, we're not in yeshiva. So it's having yeshiva and part of yeshiva. We learn like this, they learn like that, but, you know, we don't really know what the halach is. In other words, just because there was a different way of learning, perhaps, in the various yeshivas, doesn't mean they did not know who the halach is. There were some machlokes that continued and stayed and were not resolved until 100 years later. But the bulk of the machlokes, by the way, came because of this resurgence of learning, right? So things came up again. They said, oh yeah, how did we learn over there? And because all the terrorists which were happening all these last 200-300 years, so many things were forgotten, so different things came across. But basically, the two yeshivas of Shammai and Hillel were Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. It wasn't two schools of thought. Not to say there were some lone holdouts. The Gemara says that one of the Talmidim, you know, whose father, he learned by Shammai still, so even after Shammai passed on, and it was one yeshiva, but he always said, no, I'm not agreeing with the majority. The Gemara says, Shamuti. What's Shamuti? Rabbi Elazar Shamuti. He held on to Shammai Shita. Nobody else did, because it was already decided. It was already decided. It was already all one big yeshiva. Instead of a few lone holdouts. But that's really the concept of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And that's what I'm saying. If you look at the machleksin, which were where's my case over here? Look in the next page. The next page, in number 5, right? Tan Rabbanan. Maisim Hillel HaZaken. The story is told about Hillel HaZaken. Shehevi Olos El HaZogas Lishmach Alev Yonkut. So the big machlekes was on smicha. Wait, you do smicha, don't do smicha. So Hillel said, you could. So he went with his carbon in order to do smicha. Chavu alav talmidei Shammai HaZaken. So the talmidim of Shammai gathered here, right? Right? From the other yeshiva, Beis Shammai, Amulai, right? So it wasn't, there was already Beis Shammai in the time of Shammai and Hillel. Amulai told him, Mati v'shamei mezu. What is this animal that you're doing over here? Amulam, no. The cave here, ulezifre shlomei v'siyo. No. It's not an oilo where I'm going to do smicha today. It's rather a female animal, and I did a smicha ready from Erev Yom Tov, like Shammai did. So kishish lem uznova, see, like, wagged the tail to show that it's a female, v'alchulem, and they left. So that was round one. But again, because we see Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in the time of Hillel and Shammai. So there's another thing that 100 years later, there's Beis Shammai and there's Beis Hillel. In other words, the Academy of Shammai said, you see, even Hillel agreed to our way of thinking. You know, we were right in our psak that you don't do smicha. So, v'hayisham zokin echot mitalmidei Shammai hazokin. And there was one Talmud of Shammai. Maybe Shammai at that point wasn't alive anymore even. Could be. But there was one old Talmud for a Talmud from Shammai hazokin. What's his name? Bava ben Buta Shmoy. Remember him? Who is he? No. Bava ben Buta. No. Choni Amago. Bava ben Buta is the one who Herod remained, kept alive. Remember? He's the one, right? Herod poked out his eyes.
Yeah.
The blind one, right? He's the one Herod kept alive. So he was the Talmud of Shammai, right? This time period. He said, come on, we know the halacha is like Hillel, like this Hillel. So what he did was, to prove a point, he got all the animals, all the sheep from Yerushalayim, brought them to the Azara, and he said, call me, and this was really a Talmud of Shammai, right, from Beis Shammai. He said, come on, we know, we already passed him, the halacha is like Hillel, like the other yeshiva, every should come and do smicha, in other words, nobody argues. By the way, interesting story, just to show you that this Bava ben Buta was a Talmud of Shammai. People think that Shammai was a toughie, right? He was a prized Talmud of Shammai. So the Gemara says a story, separate thing. Gemara in number 5a, Gemara in Adarm. Ahuba Bava, the Solik Laodiso, was a Babylonian who went up to Israel. Nasavitzin, he married a woman from a different background, right? You always got to marry somebody from the same background, Alan. Marry somebody from a different culture, problems. See, this Babylonian married this Israeli woman. Amalai, he tells her, still, you know the story? Bishili li tre talfi. Make me, cook me 2 legs of animals, 2 pulkas. So, bishili li tre talfi. So, instead, she misunderstood the word talfi. It means 2 things in Aramaic and Hebrew. So, she cooked him 2 little beans, 2 little lentils. The Rasachalai got very upset at her. So, the next day, he tells her, bishili li giriyuva, which means, cook me this huge amount. You know, I ask you for 2 legs, and you give me 2 little beans, so I said, give me this huge thing, and maybe you'll cook me a normal meal. So, b'shila la giryo, it means something else. It's also some type of beans or lentils. In other words, again, she misunderstood him. Amala, she told her, zili aisili tre botini, go bring me 2 onions. Azlas vaisili tre shragi. And she goes and brings him 2 candles. Because butina, right, means either onions, also means, ever see the expression, butina nehiro, right, on a big tzaddik. Butina nehiro, which means this great light. So she went and brought him 2 lights. So Amalai, he got so upset at her, Zili Tavri Yasoin, go break these 2 candlesticks, Al Reisha the Bava, on top of the door. Bava means door, right? Gate. Bava Kama, Bava Basa, Bava Matia, on top of the gate. So I have Yosef Bava Mutbuta, Bava, and Bava ben Buta, this Talmud of Shammai, was sitting there by the gate, because there he was passing the halacha. Also she went with Tavlis Yasoin al Reisha. So she took the two candlesticks and broke it over the head, smashed it over the head of Bava ben Buta. So Amalom, this is what he's doing to me. Amalom, Kachtivani Bali, this my husband told me. Amalom, he says, very good. Giving you bracha, you followed your husband's will, wishes, you're a good wife, and he said, what was that? Yeah, in other words, I give you bracha, you should have two Talmid Chamim, just like me. But this was a Talmid of Shammai. So people think that Shammai was the toughie in his neck, and the strict one, not quite. Shammai was also the kind of called Adam Save upon the office. Hillel was so extreme that he was so accessible and he was so easy to everybody else. Anyway, this is the story about Bava ben Buta. So basically what I'm showing is that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was really, that was the two yeshivas at that time period. Just like we have. We had Surah and Pumbedisa, and we had the two yeshivas today. These are the two academies, two yeshivas. Now, everybody in Klal Yisrael, anybody who learned Torah belonged either to that academy or to that academy. That's all it was. And because there was so much learning, right, so therefore, there were various machleksim which came up. If you look, by the way, the machleksim between Shammai and Hillel himself, very few. Three places. Gemara says, machleksim in Shammai and Hillel, three places. Machleksim between the yeshivas, meaning, not the in the yeshiva, while they were learning, so this, they... Generation, no, that's, I saw Rabbi Victor Miller's book, he has 50 pages. Disproving that there's no such thing that there were two streams of Judaism and the Shammai, people like to think, the secular historians, the Shammai, right, Hillel was a liberal one and he was an easygoing and a whole new way of looking at things. No, it was two academies in that time. It was Beis Shammai in the time of Shammai. Now, not to say we're going to get to that in the end, but we might as well do it now. Look at number 9. Misharabu Talmidei Shammai veHillel Shalashimshu Kol Tzochon. The Gemara says that because he had so many students of Shammai Hillel that didn't weren't Meshamesh their full amount, meaning they didn't learn Torah enough, Rabu Machlekes B'Yisrael V'Nasas Torah K'Shtei Torahs. That's a very interesting statement from Rav Miller. The way he explains it doesn't mean that there were two Torahs. It means that because Chazal looked at it, because they had a few Machlekesim on small minor details, but by Chazal, even small minor details, that you can't have that. That's the Machlekes K'Shtei Torahs. And therefore, since he had so many students on both sides, there were machleksim that came up, and it wasn't clear because everybody, was mechadish. And now, by the way, another important thing, it doesn't mean, what were they learning? They were explaining the Mishnahs. Now, it doesn't mean there was no Mishnahs. There was Mishnahs, right? The Gemara says, turn to number 8. Elu bala mishnun gerabudu ventein vachalerov, tligi bora popov rabonon. Chad oma sheish meoi sidre mishnah, vechad oma shvamei sidre mishnah. That before Hillel came and before Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi came and wrote everything down, so Hillel came, they had 600 Sdorim of Mishnayos. 700 Sdorim of Mishnayos. So Rashi says, look in Rashi, Soif HaMishnah, Soif Tanoim, Atimein, until the time of the Tanoim, Omru Isha's Dvorav Beis Medesh, everybody said something that he heard from his Rebbe in the Beis Medesh, Vayitamidim Goshim Shmur Shmur Levado, Veloi Masech Tesduras. They had all these various halachas, the sod of the kibbutz al seder, behind kolalu arm of those with them, the sodus and masechtes. In other words, they organized all the various masechtes. According to the Sefer Yuchzin, Hillel is actually the one that made it into 6 various sedarim. All the different things he made into 6 shisho sidre mishnah. And even the terminologies of the language of the mishnah was already known because that was ready from the time of Anshe Knesset Gedolah. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said, okay, let's put this over here, let's put this over here. He codified it. But the Mishnah was already studied all these years. And to show to you that the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was in small, minor details. I mean, if you want to see in number 9b, Eilu Dvarim Shebein Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel B'Sudah, what's the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? So Beis Shammai says, Mevorach HaLayayim V'Achach Mevorach HaLayayim, whether you first make Mekadosh HaShabbos or first you make a Goffin. And Beis Hillel says, no, first you make a Goffin, then you say Mekadosh HaShabbos. Meaning, everybody agrees that you make Kiddush and Shabbos on wine, right? Which is what only the Rabbanim. Arguing about order. So everybody agreed to that part. There was no machlokes about that. Everybody knew that. Or, look at the last one. B'Shama Imrim, Ne'er Mazim Samim Vavdallah. Or B'Shama Imrim, Ne'er Samim Mazim Vavdallah. B'Shama Imrim, Sheborim Moireish. B'Shama Imrim, Boirim Moireish. See, they all agreed you make Avdallah, which is not a Daraisa. you make Avdol on wine, you use a candle, you use the Musamim, everybody knows all that already. All these halachas were known and clear. It's not a Hillel came with a new way of learning, a new thing, and teaching halacha. Of course not. All these things we knew already. The question was, oh yeah, which one do you say first? And say like small little details in the Rabbanim. The machlekes, for the most part, the machlekes, Beisham and Beis Hillel, are small, minor details in the Rabbanim. Why? Because when they went through and they had this resurgence of learning Torah in these two huge yeshivas in the time of Israel, so they had questions came up, and they held one way, they held another way, or at least, I guess, the prevailing halacha in one Beis Medrash was one way, the prevailing halacha in the other Beis Medrash was the other way, and therefore there was a machlekes between them. Most of them they decided already. Some of them could not decide. And then in Yavne, in the attic, that's where they decided, okay, the 18 things, let's finalize. We're not going to have any machlekes, and we're going to know how to paskin. Most of these things were discussed. Why? Because it wasn't two streams, and they probably they knew each other. They were all friends with each other. Gemara says there was one big exception was on Yavamis, on an HSH, on Tzara. Somebody who marries two brothers and they have two wives, and one of them is the heir of somebody else. So they, according to Beis Shammai, he's forbidden to marry that person. According to Beis Hillel, you have to marry that person. According to Beis Shammai, you marry that person, the kid is a mamza. According to Beis Hillel, you marry that person, the kid is not a mamza. In other words, either way you go, you're dealing with the raisis. So the Gemara said, even then, even though each one held the other one, nevertheless, they all married with each other. Nobody said, oh, I'm not going to marry you because you come from such a union. You follow your thing, that's okay with me. So they were good with each other. They were friends with each other. They were Tamil Chum. They probably discussed everything with each other. It was just, okay, I learned in Panovich, and I learned in Hebron. I learned in YU. I learned in Landis College. There's two different yeshivas. That's all it was, Beisham Beis Hillel. That's what the machlekes between them. We see the machlekes with small little details. And most of the time, how did they paskin? They paskin the majority. Since Hillel was the majority, they usually followed him. By the way, the Gemara says one story where Shammai and Hillel had a machlekes between them, between Shammai and Hillel, on a mikveh. How much of a of mayim shuvim passels a mikveh? How much of not rainwater, right? Water which comes out of a cup. How much passels a mikveh? So Shammai says one, Hillel says another one. Who do we passel like? Neither of them. They asked two garboim, two gardoim, which are two tanners who were sitting on the streets of Yerushalayim, and he asked them. They remember from Shmaya Vavtalian, the halacha shloisha lugin mayim. Shuvim place in the mikveh. Oh yeah, that's right. And then old time, yeah, that's right. Remember that. The majority, sorry, Shammai, you say one way. Hillel, you say something else. That was one of the three machlokes between Shammai and Hillel themselves, and they ended up passing not like Shammai, nor like Hillel. Why? Because in halacha there's such a thing. You follow the rabbim, you follow the majority. Even between Beis Shammai and Hillel, usually we follow Beis Hillel because they had the bigger Beis Medrash. Now you might say, why did they have the bigger Beis Medrash? Because Hillel was such a charismatic person, and he was so warm, and all these people came to him. Maybe Shammai's people were smarter. That's what they say. Doesn't make a difference. Achei Rabbim Hakos, we follow the majority, we follow Beis Hillel. And that's really the machlokes Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. It was two big, huge Rosh Hashivas. Hillel was greater than them. Shammai's Tamidim were probably sharper, right? The Gemara says they were sharper, they were more well-versed, but we followed the majority. He had a bigger following, it was a larger yeshiva, and therefore, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. But that's what it is, really. Not that Hillel, yes, maybe Hillel was, you say, was more of a mako. The Gemara says, we follow Beis Hillel because they were, you know, they were more mako, correct? There's a concept of koyach that Torah audit, absolutely. But it wasn't that Hillel came, you know, people say, oh, Hillel came and made a prusbul. Reform loves to jump on that. Hillel made a prusbul, Shammai was the old reactionary way, and then Hillel come with the modern way, and then they find solutions to all the problems. Wasn't there were two yeshivas at that time. Hillel was a large yeshiva, Hillel was a, you know, the bigger, therefore we always followed Beis Hillel because of that. But it was all, that was terror at that time. Easy to look to Shammai and Hillel. One more thing, which is important to remember. Because the Herod was so much against the Chashmonaim, so he made not just the purge Chamim in the beginning of his reign, and Hillel, you know, sneaked in, so to speak, through the back door, because he was Babylonian. Not only that, the Tzdukim, we don't hear a word about the Tzdukim anymore. Nothing. Right? Up until that point, Yechon and Hyrcanus and Alexander Yanai, the Tzdukim were the power brokers in that time. Time of Herod, we don't hear a word about the Tzdukim. Nothing. For two generations, not a word about the Tzdukim. The reason is because the Tzdukim were aligned with the Chashmonaim. Herod comes in, he says, I don't want the Chashmonaim. I'm getting rid of all of them. Tzdukim, you guys are nobody but me, because you're part of the Chashmonaim. I'll put Goyim in charge. I'll put the people who run my temple, my kingdom. I'll put the Goyim. I don't want the Tzdukim. So since he pushed down the sukkim, he got rid of them, so the Jewish people didn't even have, the Chachamim had no real opposition in anything. It wasn't sukkim come to say, there's another way of learning Torah, right? There's another way of not having Torah Shabbat Peh. There's nobody questioning Torah Shabbat Peh. When Josephus can write, and he writes that the multitude, and he writes in a time right after Shaman Hillel, he says, the multitude of the people, they follow the Chachamim, and their word is like God, and people like follow them blindly, it's because there was no spiritual opposition, at that time at least. It started a little bit with all the Christian groups and all the different sects, the Nazarenes and the Essenes, all these other, but amongst the Jewish people, there was no spiritual opposition. There was persecution, perhaps, there was Herod, but there was no alternative spiritual opposition. The Tzedukim were out, and therefore it was just Hillel and Shammai running Klal Yisrael. Hillel being the Nasi, Shammai being the Avezin. We followed Hillel with all his personality, all his everything, charisma, and that's why most of Klal Yisrael followed the leaders, followed Hillel and Shammai, because of the time period that they lived in, and it was nothing else. Yes. Because Elu ve'elu defele kimchai. Because how Shammai always loses. Because you're right, Achirav and Lahatas. But you see, that the greater Chachamim, the sharper ones, were all from Beis Shammai. It's a level. Right. But I'm saying, why do these questions, why do Chazal feel the need to say that? If it's two things, why can we say, we all love, always follow Beis Hillel, end of story. I know, but the question is, why do we have to say that? Because the question was, why do we follow Beis Hillel? After all, Shammai's students were greater scholars, were more sharp.
The only reason we're following Beis Hillel is because of the rabbi, but really, Beis Shammai.
That's what almost it sounds like. Again, that's why lost in love, but it's not saying. But that's what halacha is like that. Acharei rabbim la'atayz, right? The Gemara says a story about Rebbe Elazar that he didn't want to follow the majority, and because of that, right, he was put in the cherem, and he knew he was right. Doesn't make a difference. That is the Messiah of the Torah, and that is what Hillel accomplished. But remember, because of Hillel, who he was, he got this huge, you know, the whole of Klal Yisrael was swept in into this concept of, what does a Jew do? Of course, you join the academy. Hillel, Shammai, you sit on the Torah, that's what you do. So, something which was so suppressed all these other years, all these other times, remember, the time of Shlomo Tzion Malka was better. All those other times, you had the Chachamim, but the Hamoin Am wasn't following. Right? We're following, but Hamoin Am wasn't into it. It wasn't into it. In other words, you had the Chachamim, and when they were killed, V'haya Olam Shomim, right? So you put a few yeshivas, a few things like that. But to have, like, unfettered, basically, the resurgence of Torah and the Kirov movement, and everybody joining, and Hillel, people coming to the, I thought that was most fascinating, everything, coming to Hillel on a Friday afternoon, and nudging him, bothering him, because why not? You can relate to him, you can get to him, he's accessible. That shows that everybody felt a connection. They had bets, you know what? They had bets amongst them. Oh, who's gonna get Hillel angry, right? Who's gonna
after the Korban?
No, before, 30 years before.
Okay, but still, you could see that there was an established yeshiva over there, but whose yeshiva was it? Was that
an Elul yeshiva? Right, it was probably no different. Then you haven't seen Slabodka and Nevardek, right? So before the war, you had Nevardek yeshivas and all throughout Europe, and you had Slabodka yeshivas all throughout Europe.
Okay.
That's all it was. But there should be a recruit captain. No, but I'm sure it was all over the country.
Well, that would be much more larger to see Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. It was not actually Hillel and Shammai. It could have been a son, it could have been a love within. But was it always
from the academy? No, not
the academy. Was it always in?
Could be from other yeshivas. No,
so that's not a.
Right. And one of the proofs that Victor Miller brings down said we don't see anybody that took over Shammai's yeshiva. Who is the next leader after Shammai's yeshiva? We find Hillel, who took over after his yeshiva. Hillel, Samuel Gamliel, Shimon Ben Gamliel.
Why not?
Because after Shammai died, they all went back together. It was only for that time period in order to divert attention. And Shammai was established yeshiva, so it was not going to join him because it would be too much of a problem. He said, okay, open my own yeshiva.